today
and tell it tomorrow.
Preach the word of God
that we might win a shining
crown
in heaven. Tell the lost, all the lost salvation is to sinners, the news, blessed news all over the land
and sea.
Oh, teach it and
tell it afar
in every nation.
Tell it afar
all over creation.
Praise
the Lord, the blessed Lord, salvation has been brought down. Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good. That didn't sound that good. Is God good?
Yes.
Every day God is good. We want to thank him for blessing us to be here. If you are visitors, you are our honored guests, and we are happy that you're with us this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be here today. How are you enjoying all this heat? Yes, it's hotter than this somewhere else. Amen, somebody. Amen. I want to dive in this morning. Thank you for tuning in by way of television. We hope we can say something. If you have a request, if you need to talk to someone, speak to someone, please call a number on your screen this morning. I want to try to end the last lesson of the series we started a few weeks ago entitled The Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ. I feel like I've been inadequate, that I have not done justice to this series. There's so much there. I've been trying to lift up Jesus, and last week I admit it, especially to the young people. I'm hoping that you will idolize Jesus. He's already immortal. You know, sometimes people live, they want to immortalize it. Jesus already is immortal. But because our very foundation, the reason why we're here today, this morning, is because of Jesus. I want you to meet with me in the book of John, chapter 2. And I wish I had time to review. We've talked about his young life, his pre-ministry life, before his ministry started, his baptism, before his ministry started, his testing, before he even started ministering, his testing, then his ministry itself, his miracles, all things in his life that distinguished him from any other man, but the culminating act of Jesus Christ. It's really a question of authority when you talk about Jesus. And let's read John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Everybody's all right this morning? Let it go. Let your troubles go. Let's serve God this morning. The Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show?" I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" Jesus had just turned the tables over in the temple. And money changers, he says, "You are making my father's house a den of thieves." And he turned the tables over in there. And he cleared it out. They asked, this is the question that was asked. The Jews said to him, "What sign do you show? What gives you the authority to do all of this?" That's what they asked Jesus. That's a good question to ask. In religion today, that's a good question to ask. What gives you the authority? And this is what Jesus said. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise." That's what my authority. That's where my ultimate authority. I have power over death. That distinguishes Jesus from anybody else. And so today, the claims that Jesus made in his life, "All power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me." That's what Jesus said. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that if all authority is in Jesus' hand, who ought we to be listening to? Especially when it comes to our spirituality. Nobody but Jesus Christ for our answers. So you need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, what gives us the authority to meet on the first day of the week? What gives you the authority to call yourself a name other than the name of, as in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You know, what gives me the authority to call myself a Mormon, a Lutheran? And I'm not denouncing these individuals, but I'm just asking a question. Where does the authority come from? They asked Jesus that question. And Jesus told them, he says, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. That's when you're going to know that I am who I say I am. When we change, see, when we say baptism is just a ceremony, and Jesus says, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of, and when he gave it to the apostles, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. What gives you the authority to say that baptism is not necessary? Yeah, we want to know what authority comes from. And we have to ask ourselves the question, when it comes to the salvation of our souls, who are we going to listen to? Jesus, he's going to answer this question once and for all in his biography. We've been looking at the letters of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biographical accounts of Jesus' life. Two of his apostles, those who walked close with him, wrote the details down. And we've been examining cities and dates and places, trying to reconcile, trying to convince those, and I've entitled this last sermon, Believe It or Not. And that's what we need to decide, whether or not we believe Jesus is who he said he is or not. And if we believe him, we need to listen to him and obey him. Listen to this in verse 20. Then the Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture. Now, they didn't have all of the scriptures that we have at the time. But even the Old Testament scriptures testified of Jesus. Some of the prophets didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, didn't know exactly when it was going to happen. It said they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. And that's what we have to answer for ourselves. Do we believe the scripture? Do we believe the words of Jesus Christ? And so we come to that hour. We come to that hour that the Bible details. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them give the account of Jesus' trials, his crucifixion, his death. And some of them give more details than the others. And I wish we had time to read all of them. Their homework is to read the details of Jesus' death. And let's go through some of it this morning, if we will, to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 14. Luke 22, 14. Stay with me, if you will. The scripture says, because this is so important to our faith. The scripture says, when the hour had come, and it's nitty-gritty time. And literally, Jesus knew that his time had come, that it was time to go through the experience. He reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Lord, put yourself in the mindset of Jesus. He knows what's about to happen. But he's still clear thinking, and he still is concerned about other people. There are so many examples that we need to emulate, because you know what? A lot of times, you know, I know if that would have been me, I'd have been sitting there thinking, Lord, I'm going to get through this, and it's going to hurt, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, we do that. We do that a lot, don't we? Some of us in here right now, what you need to do is take your mind off of your issues right now. Yeah, can I ask you a question? How much is it helping you to internalize? And often there are those that surround us that's going through some things, and we are the person to help them through those, but we just can't see it. And here Jesus, he says, all the ministry, and you read how busy he was and the things that were going, and he says, I desire to meet with this last meal before I suffer. His disciples still didn't know what was about to happen. And he says, he was thinking of them. Lord have mercy. Give us strength to not be so selfish. Give us strength to not focus on me, myself, all the time. Give us, help us to understand there are other folk who got issues, many of them even bigger than ours. And we're just consumed with our little toe and my hand is hurting. And we can't help nobody. Yeah, Jesus is concerned. He says, for I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus knew that it would be his last chance to leave a lasting impression on those who were closest to him on earth. I mean, his last meeting with him before he died. And he knew that. And he know in his mind, oh, Lord have mercy, are these men ready? Are they ready? I don't know if they're ready. And I know they're going to miss me. And I need to give them something. I need to make a lasting impression. This is, and you read other accounts. This is Luke's account. And this is the Passover, getting ready for the Passover feast. John's account in John chapter 13, John's account says, Jesus, knowing that his hour was at hand, he met with him. And now Luke's account, they eating the Passover meal. John's account, he tells you what he did after the meal. After the meal is when Jesus girded the towel. And he went and he washed the disciples' feet. Now, thank you. He's fixing to go to the cross, and he gets a towel and washes their feet. You think Jesus wasn't trying to leave an impression on his apostles? Without a doubt, he was. He was trying to show them the importance of being a servant, the importance of not focusing everything on yourself and why you're in this world. And he's hurting, but he's teaching at the same time. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to do that. And he says, he makes a prophetic statement. He says, this Passover feast, he said, I'm not going to ever eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And that was the truth. But notice this, the Passover, the Jewish Passover, was a physical meal that commemorated deliverance from slavery. But in the New Testament, Jesus is our Passover. They had a Passover lamb. In the New Testament, Jesus becomes our Passover, but it's deliverance not from physical slavery, but from spiritual slavery. He delivers us from all of our sins. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. So we had the physical Passover, and Jesus says, it's not going to be fulfilled until I won't eat again. So every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is a commemoration. It is our eating in the kingdom of God. The Passover, and we see that it is fulfilled here in the scriptures of our great God in heaven. Lord have mercy. Yeah, I was trying in so many ways to picture being one of the disciples sitting at the table of Jesus, and he's teaching lessons, and he's teaching the lessons. Also at this Passover meal, that one, he told one of his disciples, after he had washed all of their feet, he said, one of you going to betray me. See, I know that's probably when the human side would have came. I don't know. Lord, thank you, Jesus. You good. You good. Because you sitting there eating with somebody you know is going to betray you. And Jesus, he says, whatever you do, John 13, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Yeah. And then And then Judas left out. And the scripture, I believe, says in verse number 30, it was nighttime. I want you, all of this is important for you to know. When Jesus said that my hour, he knew that his hour had come. He was, it was in the evening time when they were eating the Passover. We know it was nighttime that Judas left Jesus. And you know what? His other apostles didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was, you know what they thought? They thought that Jesus, even when Jesus said that, he says, one of you that I dipped the pot, you're going to betray me. And then he did, gave it to Judas, and Judas left. They still didn't know it was Judas. Because they thought, since Judas had the money box that he was going, Jesus was telling them to go out and prepare for the feast. And they asked Jesus, who is it? Who is it? You know what? Jesus didn't even, you know what? I'd have told you, yeah, here he is right there. There he go right there walking out the door. But Jesus didn't go that route. Yeah, we want vengeance all the time because we want to see somebody pay. I just thank the Lord that he don't pay me everything I need to be paid for. Amen, somebody? Yes, Lord. Yeah, but. Jesus still, and then there was so much, see, it's, all of this, we see the depravity of man, why Jesus came to this world. In the first dispensation of time, God destroyed the world by war, because there were evil continually on the earth. God devised a plan to redeem man back to himself. And here you see this man going about doing nothing but good. And you see the high priest, all the religious leaders, they were out to get, you see the depravity, you see the evilness, you see the crookedness of man is on full display. And you see where man is headed, and you see, but you all see, also see on full display the love of God, the patience of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. God is good. Listen, church. And I know as a young person, sometimes I try to understand, well, why, you know, God, all this evil stuff happens. God is so patient. Evil happens because of our decisions. Consequences happen because we, you know, that's like in your house, if you have children and you just, you know what? Children make decisions. And they make right decisions, they make wrong. But if you don't punish when they do something wrong, if you don't try to teach them, if you don't try to, they will keep on doing wrong, won't they? Yeah. Won't appreciate you. And so there is, God has law, he has rule, but even then God is still patient with us. And he allowed his only begotten son, and all of these grave details we see. All of these horrible things. I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. And God has demonstrated how much he loves, how much he was willing, what extent he was willing to go through to get our attention, to redeem us back to him. And he let his son. Jesus had 6 trials. Unheard of. Never had it ever happened before. Listen to the Bible. Listen to some details before I get too emotional. Listen to John chapter 18, verse 12, John 18, 12. I want you to make note of all of these trials. So the Roman cohort and the commander of the officials of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. This is at night. This is after, and I don't have time to go through all of the details. This is after the Garden of Gethsemane. It's most scholars would absolutely agree it's after midnight. Jesus had taken the Lord's Supper. They've taken the Passover meal. Judas goes out. My hour is at hand. Go what you do, do quickly. Judas goes out, gets the men. They come back to Jesus. It's nighttime. A Roman cohort is 500 soldiers. How in the world they need 500? 500 men. 500 Roman soldiers, and then also the Jewish leaders were there with them. The cohort, he says,
They arrested Jesus, they bound him, and they led him to Annas first. That's the first trial. Annas, who was high priest. Actually, it was a transition period, but Annas was still noted as the priest. This would be John's account. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Annas preceded Caiaphas. So first they took him. All of this was pre-planned. We're going to get him, bring him to me first, Annas. When you get time, you read through the testimony of Annas. The second trial in Luke chapter 2, John chapter 18, verse 24. John 18, 24. So Annas, after going to Annas, Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas. He sent him bound to Caiaphas. Here in some of these trials, they struck Jesus in the face, slapped him. Jesus something else, because... Jesus had the power to call 12 legions of angels if he wanted to. Now, you know I would have been calling them. Yes, sir. Maybe not with the slap, but when they spit on me. Listen to this. Men spit on the Son of God. Somebody come up here and let me spit on you. I mean, you know, you can slap me. That's one thing. But, Brother Willis, if I spit on you, not just spit like you're preaching spitting. Accidentally. I'm getting too close, Brother Willis. Brother Willis said, Brother Gary, you're getting too close. Dundee was smiling until I said Dundee. He just smiled went off his face. But if I purposely, you know, when you purposely spit on somebody, you have to make you spit. Took him to Caiaphas. Third trial in Luke 2:66. Now, I don't have time to read all the details. Listen to this. When it was day, the council of elders. That's why I love the Bible when you study it, because it confirms everything makes sense. Judas left at night. Now they've had Jesus up all night long. Now it says when it was day, it was early. Most would say it was probably prior 6:30 in the morning. The council of the elders of the people. So he went to Annas. He went to Caiaphas. Now the council of the elders of the assembled both chief priests and scribes. That's why you know this was pre-planned. They all the Sanhedrin, all 70 of the Sanhedrin, all of them early in the morning. Had already behind closed doors days before. This is what we're gonna do. To kill an innocent man, and God allowed it to be so. Jesus, knowing that his time was at hand. Listen, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, if you're the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you won't believe me. Jesus was strategic. On one occasion, Jesus says, when they slapped him, he said, why are you slapping me if I'm telling the truth? I love it that Jesus was not a wimp. And yes, they slapped him, but he just took it. And I like that he said, why are you slapping me? They still mistreated him. Yeah. You the Christ? You're not going to believe me. Listen to the fourth trial, Luke chapter 23, verse 1. Then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate, all of them, grown men. I tell you what, you get some grown men that's crazy, that's evil, that's a dangerous situation. And these were not, you know, the Roman, the Jewish leaders were not warriors. They are lawyers. I don't, maybe I shouldn't say this about lawyers, because we got some good lawyers here at the church.
Now, I've told you what my grandmother called him. Did I tell you what? Some of you might know. My grandmother, well, maybe I shouldn't say this. My grandmother, one of my cousins or something was dating a lawyer, and she was telling my grandmother, I'm gonna bring my boyfriend to meet you. She said, he's a lawyer. She said, you say he's a liar? But I know lawyers don't lie, but. All of them. And Jesus just as calm. Jesus just as humble as a lamb. Yeah. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation. So they brought him. Now he's before Pilate for the first time. The fourth trial. He's before Pilate to pay taxes and saying that he himself is Christ the King. They were telling Pilate that. Listen to the fifth trial. Now, Pilate told him, he says, I don't see any fault in this man. What you're saying? And the scripture said, Pilate knew they were envious of Jesus. Envy will get you in trouble. Yeah, you desire something somebody has, want something. And now, listen to this. Now, Herod was very, so Pilate finds out that he's a Galilean. He sends him to Herod. Herod was in town. He said, then they said that now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus. So Pilate sends him to Herod. So Herod's going to handle this. For he wanted to see him for a long time because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. Pilate said, they took him to Herod, and Herod was glad to see him, and Herod was just trying to get in the dance for him. He wanted to get Jesus to perform for him. Herod cared nothing about Jesus at all. Jesus still up all night long and has not slept, and they just playing games with his life. Herod sends him away. I don't see nothing wrong, nothing worthy of death that he's done. He sends him back to Pilate. Luke chapter 23, verse 13. Pilate summoned. Notice, this is a summation. After all the evidence has been presented, after seeing these religious leaders are just flat out jealous of this man because the people know, people love him. He's healing folks, performing miracles. They are afraid of their job. Then Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people. Listen to what the scripture says. And said to them, you brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion. And behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt regarding the charges which you have made against Pilate, the governor. He says, now this is my summation. I've heard what you're saying. He said, but this man hadn't done. Is not, you know, you can go to court, and if you got a good lawyer can make a lie look like the truth. Can't they? Nobody in here but you. But Jesus wasn't guilty. Pilate knew it. His wife knew it. Listen, many of the people knew it. And so Pilate, but you know what? This is a shame. But this demonstrates, it displays the depravity. It displays what evil thoughts, evil actions. It displayed how mankind really was. And it's carrying out, God allows it to carry out because he wants us to see exactly how ugly it is. And Pilate knew that he was wrong, but didn't have the strength, the fortitude. And look at what he did. Listen to John chapter 19, verse 1. John chapter 19, verse 1. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. Pilate knew he wasn't guilty. Charlie, come here for just a second. I've asked Charlie to help me. I want you to see this. Charlie is our Roman soldier. The Jews couldn't do this. The Romans had to do it. Charlie, grab that be. Move this bench for me. Move this bench. Slide it over here. Now, I had to leave you with some images because I'm an image person. You know about the cross, and I want to show you what Pilate had done to Jesus. And you read some history on scourging. Most would say that it was 40, 39 minus one, 40 minus one strokes. So Pilate had Jesus scourged knowing that he wasn't guilty. But he was really doing this to try to appease the people to say, if I do this, they're going to let him go. Charlie, give me a demonstration of I want you to hit this board 10 times. This was done publicly before all the people. Don't hurt yourself. That's enough, Charlie. You would have made a good Roman soldier. This wasn't a new act. The Romans are cruel. Innocent man, they scourge him. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. Put a purple robe on him. Put a purple robe on him. This is, they mocking Jesus. Public crowd. Surely bigger than this crowd. And hold this for me, Charlie. They begin to come to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they slapped him in the face. Let's notice this, though. Pilate, after all of this, Pilate came out again. And he said to him, after Jesus had been scourged, and he said to him, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in Jesus." Pilate thought this was going to do it. He did. He thought it was going to do it. He thought, now I've scourged this man. He's been ridiculed before all the people. So I've appeased you. But that wasn't enough. They started yelling, "Crucify him. Crucify him." They took a criminal before they took Jesus. And let me see the roll. They led him to Golgotha. And they took nails and they, do you have, Charlie? I just want our members to hear the sound. Now you can't nail that nail in there, but I want you to imagine Jesus on this beam and they nailed. I don't know how many strikes it took, but I want you to hit that board three times. Not the nail, just hit the board. Hit it like you mean it. No. Yeah. Okay, Charlie. Have a seat, Charlie. Thank you. You need to read all accounts. You need to read all accounts of Jesus on the cross and what happened. But I wanted you to see some images, because especially for our young people, you know, we go to the movies, and I know I went to the movie and I saw The Passion of Christ, and it was very graphic, and it's just horrible to see. But God allowed all of this to happen. I'm telling you. See, you know your scripture that many of us learned when we were young, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, we need to understand how much God loves us. See, because if we don't understand, if we don't put this in the right perspective, see, God allowed Jesus to go through this drug out long, all these trials, through all of the agony of the humiliation. If you the Christ, come off the cross. If you Jesus. And God is sitting on high watching all of this. And do you know how much, you see, that's like some of our sisters in the church. I'm just talking about the sisters. You know, a mother with her children is a dangerous. Some of our sweet sisters in here will hurt you about their children. And God sat and he watched the evilness of men. But Jesus had to go through this for all of us, that we might be redeemed to him. But when Jesus said, when they asked Jesus a question, by what authority? He says, in 3 days, you destroy this temple and I will raise it again. He made a prediction nobody else had ever made. They didn't know what he was making. Go to John chapter 20 and verse 25. John chapter 20 and verse 25. So the other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. Jesus had risen from the grave. And he had been seen by 11 of his disciples. And they said, we've seen the Lord. And they said to Thomas, but he said to them, unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Yeah. Thomas said, he says, I got to see it. I have to see it for myself. And that's kind of where we are today, because we were not back there then. You know, we were not in the first century. We didn't see the crucifix. We've read about it. We saw movies about it. We've seen people write books about it. But we were not there. The question is, do you believe it? The question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ really came to this world to die? Notice this. That our sins might be remissed and forgiven forevermore, so we can make it to heaven. And Thomas says, he says, I will not believe. But you know, this is how patient God is. See, because I'm telling you, he said, I'm not going to believe if I didn't see it. A lot of people today, they are doubters, not outright doubters, but maybe that happened, maybe it did. Eight days later, John chapter 20 and verse 27, listen to this. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger, see my hands. Reach here your hand, put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered him and said to him, my Lord and my God.
Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? But he said, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. It sounds like he's talking to us, don't it? It sounds like God is saying, he says, Thomas, I'm glad you believe. You blessed. But you know what? There is an extra measure of blessing for those who have not seen it with their own eyes and yet believe. Do we have believers in this place? I hope everyone in here believe with all your hearts that Jesus Christ was born in a city called Bethlehem. He was raised in a city called Nazareth, who we so showed on the maps and showed you where Bethlehem was and where Nazareth was and still are, even today. That he was dealt with by officials during his time, officials like Herod and officials like Pilate. He was born of a virgin called Mary, and he ran away to Egypt and came back and lived in Nazareth. He was baptized by John the Baptist, his predecessor, who baptized in the Jordan River, of which the Jordan River still exists today. And he was baptized in Jordan. But John says, I'm not the one. There is one who cometh after me that is greater than me. And he was talking about Jesus. We saw that Jesus performed miracles. Miracles like no other could perform. He raised people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. We saw that he preached and taught. And not only did he taught, he lived a life before all mankind that all of us should be emulating. And he lived a perfect life. A life without sin. You want to model somebody as a husband? It's Jesus. Amen. Sisters, would you like to be married to a man like Jesus? Yes, husbands love your wives. Some of us couldn't handle it. We might think Jesus is too nice for us. Brothers, would you like to be married to someone who is totally dedicated and they will never, ever fail you? It's Jesus. Jesus did all of that. He lived a perfect life, and Jesus obeyed his Father right down to the last commandment. And after everything was fulfilled, Jesus rose from the grave. That is the culminating act. That is why we give him all of our allegiance. That is why we follow him until we die. That is when he said, now all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. And so Jesus has all the power. And he says to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we're dedicating our lives to the man who lived the perfect life, sits at the right hand of the Father, and who awaits to say, the Father will say one day, time will be no more. And then you know what? Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to gather all the believers with him to live with him forever and ever. I know we can't see it with our eyes, but we need to see it with our eyes of faith. And I've read a lot of books and read some fantasy things, and I like cartoons and I like fantasies and I like the movies, but I want the real thing. And I'm going to put 100% all of my faith, all of my allegiance in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And if you're here this morning and you're not in Christ Jesus, and the only way you get into Jesus Christ is you're baptized into Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're baptized into his body, the church. And Jesus Christ only has one church. Only is married to one bride. And he wants everybody in the world to be in his church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, because all the saved are in Jesus' church. Is there one who needs to be baptized this morning by faith? The scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those. I love this. The diligently seek him. And that's what we're doing. That's what, if you are discouraged this morning, if you're going through some troubles, welcome to the club. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah. We're living in the world. Notice, Jesus went through all kinds of trials. But he served God to the end. So as you go through your trials, do never give up on Jesus Christ and his teachings. So if you're here and you're weary, you're in the right place. If you're here and you're burdened, you're in the right place, because all our salvation is tied up into Jesus Christ. And he will deliver us, that one day we will remember these pains. Notice this. Jesus not come back to die on the cross again for our sins. So if you don't believe it, that's up to you. But there remains no more sacrifice, the scripture says, for our sins. So this is your chance. You can be baptized into Christ today. To be baptized into Christ, be baptized into his church, and we be faithful unto death. The scripture says he gives us a crown of righteousness. Somebody need to come to Jesus today. And I want to say this to the Church of Christ, to us in here. I know some of you, Gary, you need to preach more on the church. And I know that, listen, the church is where we learn. Church is where we grow. We learn the doctrine of Christ, where we live for Christ, but you need to fall in love with Jesus first. Amen. Amen. see, you need to fall in love with the one who established the church, because the more you love him, the more you're going to listen to him. The more you love him, the more you're going to obey. You will see what the teaching of Jesus Christ, you will see why he wants one church. You fall in love with you. There's some things you need to learn about. There's some folk in here right now that's baptized that don't know everything they need to know about the Church of Christ. But if you stay here long enough, and if you love Jesus hard enough, you're going to learn it. Notice this, and more than that, you're going to obey it. Somebody come to Jesus today. If you have a prayer request, if you need to get something right, get it right now as we stand and sing the song.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is come.